word that I have felt illumined to share with you as I have been graced to be a part of many people's lives in this just 10 months that I've been here. Times of praying and crying with people and hearing their hearts and hearing their needs. And always this prayer has come forward, and one that I think tonight beckons us to listen to. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Restoring the soul. Restoring the soul. As I pondered how to break down words that we have said so many times, and many of us have memorized them, and sometimes we read them and they just kind of woof over our heads and we don't really grasp what they say. And so, you know, as a minister of the word, you think, how can you break down words that we say so many times and make them fresh and make them giving to our souls? And as I thought about it, I thought that the Lord's, as our shepherd, sets us free from ourselves. And when we think about restoring the soul, it is a setting free from ourselves. And when we say the Lord is my shepherd, who is the Lord? How can the Lord be my shepherd? And how do I become under his control? We know the words Jehovah, great God of Israel, Messiah, God the Father, author, originator of all things, God the Son and the Savior and the Holy Spirit. The Lord is my shepherd. Why? Because he chose to create us all as objects of his affection. Because he suffered, because he sacrificed for us. The Lord is my shepherd. But let's listen and think about this word, shepherd. And I think the way we can do that is to talk about sheep. When I studied and read that in the Middle East, ancient Middle East, sheep were precious, precious symbols of wealth. Their wool provided warmth for clothing, and their bodies were used for sacrifice. But they were dependent creatures. They needed to be guided, and they needed to be protected. Sheep cannot survive in the wild alone. The Middle Eastern shepherd loved his sheep. He gave each one a name, and he cared for them tenderly. I discovered that in the Middle East, the sheep were all put in a pen, and shepherds put all of their sheep in a pen. In some cases, shepherds didn't have single pens. There was one big pen. And there was all I can do is call it a large wall, maybe. But there was an opening where one shepherd guarded with his life, so that any enemy that come in had to pass by that shepherd first. And that shepherd was sacrificing his life to care for those sheep. Any enemy would have to pass by him. And isn't it absolutely marvelous for us, whom the scripture sees as sheep, that God presents himself as a shepherd for us? He leads us and he protects us. And so we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus called himself the good shepherd. And he said he would go to no end to care for his sheep. So we can say that we are satisfied sheep. And that's why we can make a bold statement and say, I shall not want, thinking that we lack nothing and that we are utterly content. I shall not want, not craving for anything else, not desiring anything more. We know that David, the writer of the psalm, experienced deep personal poverty and hardship and anguish. We remember that Jesus himself warned the disciples, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He says, I have overcome the world. And so with this confidence of not wanting, we must not become complacent and thinking that material prosperity marks the blessing of God upon our lives. Jesus made it very clear to the rich young ruler who wished to become his follower, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor and follow me. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Think about sheep. Sheep are very timid animals. The slightest disturbance creates in them fear. They will refuse to lie down unless they are free from fear. If they are free from pestilence and insects that might be surrounding them, sheep are easily panicked. Just the rush of a rabbit can startle one and cause all the rest of them to blindly run with them, not even looking at what they are running from. In our lives as Christians, there's no substitute for the keen awareness that we have that God is always nearby. The Lord is my shepherd. When we make a profession of faith, we are saying that the Lord is my shepherd. Will, I know tonight you said the Lord is your shepherd. As you stood before us and you made your profession of faith and you said who you believed and whose you belong to. And so you can express and shout, I shall not want. And we know that there will be circumstances that will come in our lives And in your life, Will, but you have a body of believers who are here to build you up, lift you up, pray you up and through everything that you may experience in life. So one of the outstanding marks that we have as Christians, as sheep of the Good Shepherd, is a serene sense of gentle contentment. Gentle contentment. There is no substitution for a keen awareness of the presence of the Lord. God, the Holy Spirit, brings us quietness and strength and stillness and calmness when we face frustration. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. When you think about these green pastures, think about your own personal life. Think about the labor that God has to work with us to make those pastures green. Think about how hard God works to get rid of those stony rocks of unbelief, to tear out the roots of bitterness. God tends and cultivates our hearts. This is His promise to us as our shepherd. This is His promise to us through Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. He leads me beside still waters. So much beauty in these words. When sheep become thirsty, they become restless. And they set out to search for water. And if you can imagine a sheep on a plain, the sheep is going to go wherever, might find a little pothole of water. That little pothole might not be a good water, might be full of parasites, might be full of some kind of disease. But the shepherd gently tends to the sheep and keeps the sheep from going in polluted waters. Christ, our Good Shepherd, makes thirsty souls like us satisfied by always quenching us with Himself, the pure and holy water that fills and quenches our thirst. We can be excited in Matthew 5, when we read, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We are promised. Christ boldly claims, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." To drink, the Greek word is to take in, or accept, or believe. We must accept the very life of God in Christ, to the point where it becomes a part of us. And St. Augustine, he sums it up quite well when he wrote, "Oh God, Thou hast made us for Thyself." God has made us for Thyself. And our souls are restless, searching until they find their rest in Thee. Only God knows where to take us and still us and give us those quiet, pure waters. Yes, we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." This is the essence of these words tonight, I think. He restores my soul. As we study this psalm, we remember that it is a sheep in the Good Shepherd's care who is doing the speaking. It is our claim as Christians of belonging to God. So why do we ask for our souls to be restored. Why does David ask for his soul to be restored? Surely anyone in the Good Shepherd's care is already experiencing a soul that is restored and does not need restoration. But even David, who was so loved by God, knew what it was to be cast down, to be dejected. David knew the bitterness of feeling hopeless and without strength. Psalm 42, David says, cries out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Cast down." And here's another understanding of the word cast down in relationship to sheep. A sheep that is cast down is a very, very pitiful sight. And what happens is that if you can imagine a sheep laying on the ground and maybe there's a little unleveling of the ground and the sheep kind of falls over. Sheep are full of wool and maybe there's mats of mud and insects all in its wool and it could be a little fat. And it loses its balance as it's laying down. And its feet go straight up in the air. And it has no ability to turn itself back on its feet. And it is cast down. Think of a shepherd's care. The shepherd missing sheep. Thinking that, oh, one of my sheep must be cast down and I must find it and stand it aright. When the shepherd finds sheep whose wool has weighed them down, what does he need to do? He needs to shear it. Sheep don't enjoy being sheared. It's not a pleasant thing. Similarly, in our own lives, there will come a time when our Master, our God, must shear us, must take the cutting edge of the word and struggle with us and clean us out and help us. And certainly we both are relieved, the shepherd, the sheep, God, and us. We are relieved, for when we get through that shearing and that cutting, we are better. Our souls are restored. And so restoration is definitely needed. Part of the price of belonging to God is having to live through the disciplines of enduring hardship, of enduring the cutting edge, the shearing. So as I said in the beginning, that I thought that these words of restoring the soul were ones of setting the soul free. And as sheep and being set apart by the Good Shepherd, we are set free. And in the midst of all of this, God promises us rest and refreshment. Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So God promises to fortify and strengthen us. He is our good shepherd. We can rest in assured knowing that he is always willing and ready and available to restore us. This confidence should refresh and restore our souls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.